I have mentioned, there are four types of right effort in cultivating good mindset. Number one is to prevent the arising of fever by keeping your fever and morality, or by controlling your five senses, or restrain your five senses. How to restrain? The Buddha gives a stimuli in the Mahima Nikaya. That stimuli concerning the circus and the chakra. In one evening, the chakra and the circus come up to search for food. At the same time, the chakra also come up to search for food. So when the circus notice the chakra is approaching him, then he quickly withdraw all his limbs, including his head, into his shell. So because this shell is too hard, so the chakra see the circus withdraw all his limbs and head. Then he wish for the circus to extend his limbs and feet, his limbs and head. But this circus is very patient. You know, if I extend, I know you will fight me. So he never extend his limbs and head. And the circus, after waiting for a long time, how long his patience, then go away. Then the meditator, you have to guard your sixth sense door, because all the refinement comes through the sixth sense door. When you see something beautiful, you like it. When you see something not beautiful, you dislike it. So the refinement, or you hear something pleasant, you like it. Or you hear something unpleasant, you dislike it. So the defilement keep on attacking us through the six sense doors. So if you can, just like the want to attack this person, but the person withdraw all his limbs and head. So you also can withdraw all your limbs and head by the practice of mindfulness. Restrain your five senses doesn't mean that you stop your ear, you stop your eyes, you don't want to see anything. But you do everything with mindfulness. That mindfulness can protect you from the requirement to enter into your mental state. So the controlling of five senses, a restraint of your six senses, can prevent the arising of fever. It's one way. Then once the evil, although you try to prevent by restraining the five sense door or by observing your fear, but once the evil still arises in you, at that time, how you can discharge it? How to discard it? For example, the grief for a man. A man seeing a beautiful girl, then the lust arise in him. Because maybe first he did not practice eye restraint of the eye. Or he practiced but not successful. So he likes this beautiful girl. Then you accumulate a lot of unwholesome karma. That's not good for you. Then how do we stop it? It's very natural, I was told, by I have met one deputy minister in Kuala Lumpur. He told me, it's very natural for men to have lust when seeing a beautiful girl. He told me his own experience. Whenever he sees a beautiful girl, in order to overcome his lust, he always Okay, so you can Amitabha to discuss your evil. But what are the ways? The Buddha gives five ways to remove this distracting thought. number one, if the lung arrives in you, you will say opposite mental state. What is the opposite mental state of lung? Impurity of the body. You need to contemplate the 32 parts of the body. This body is made up by 32 parts. Head, hair, body hair, nails, teeth, skin, flesh, skin, bone marrow, kidney, heart, lung, membrane, liver, and so on, up to the urine. So you practice, you take this woman as object and practice the repeat part to contemplate the repulsiveness of the body. Then when you keep on contemplating the repulsiveness of this body, then the last word disappears. But to contemplate the repeat part of the body is very difficult for Americans. But when I tell them to contemplate this, body is very beautiful. It's not possible for me to contemplate the repulsiveness of the body. Because they say that since young, they have been told, they have been taught, the body is full of disease. So this type of concept, very big rooted in their mind. So when I tell this repulsiveness of the body, a lot of people. So for them it's very difficult, but for Asian maybe it's easier, because Asian are more obedient. They listen to teacher, what the teacher tell them to follow. That's very easy. Not like American. Americans ask all many types of questions. So there's one way to pay attention to the opposite mental state. So when the anger arrives in you, how will you start it? You radiate loving kindness. You radiate the anger, the opposite mental state of anger is loving kindness. So when the jealousy arrives in you, you should cultivate sympathetic joy. So if the stinginess arrives in you, you should offer more. Offer more. Okay? So this is the way, that's the first way to discard the evil which has already arisen. But if he fails, I think that one of the king Udena, he asked the monk how to discard the lung which has already arisen in pain. Then the monk said, "Okay, you cut it 32 parts, you put them at a distance." Then the king Udena says, "I cut it 32 parts towards the dancer in my palace, but I still feel they are very beautiful." The danger of this unwholesome mental state or unwholesome. There are five ways given by the Buddha. But now, they can refer to Mahima Vitaya, which are called Santana Sutta. The five ways to remove the restricting force. Okay, after you have discussed it, the effort to discuss it, then you have to arouse an arisen wholesome state. What are the wholesome states you have to be aroused in you? So if you have not yet kept five precepts, you have to arouse that a wholesome state by observing five precepts. And if you have never performed any charity, you have to arouse that. That desire of doing charity. After the, if you have not yet practiced Samatha meditation, you have to arouse that effort to practice Samatha meditation. So number four is to develop and bring to the perfection the wholesome state. For example, you have already started concentration practice. You have to develop it and bring to perfection. It means that you have to practice up to attainment of jhana. Or if you have start vipassana, you have to develop it and bring to perfection and you practice it up to the attainment of nirvana. So these are the four right effort in cultivating good mind state. Just now I've mentioned to you the five ways to discard the arising of distracting thoughts. Number one is pay attention to the opposite mental state. Number two is to reflect the danger of the evil of unwholesome mental thoughts. Number three is to neglect the evil thoughts. To neglect it. For example, if you don't want to see somebody, if you don't want to see somebody, how will you do? You turn away, go away, you want to see them. So you neglect the evil thought. Number four, you trace the cause of the evil thought. The cause of the evil thought. For example, the Vitaka, the female donor Vitaka, when she lost her granddaughter, although she was caught up, she was very sad. And one day, with the red white cloth, she went to monastery. Very abnormal. So the Buddha asked her, what happened to you? And she said, I was very sad because I had lost my beloved granddaughter. Then the Buddha teached her Dhamma. From grief, from attachment, spring grief. From attachment, spring sorrow. So why she feel sad? So if you trace back the cause, why she feel sad? Because of her attachment towards her granddaughter. So the attachment is the cause. So once you trace back the cause, then you tackle the cause. So this is the way to remove the unwholesome cause. Number four, it still fails. Even you trace back the cause, you still fail. Then the fifth, the last method, Buddha admonish you. With your teeth clenched together. The tongue clenched on the roof of. The tongue is pressed on the roof of the last way. If the four, the 1, 2, 3, 4 auto fails, you use the last way. Try very hard, clench your teeth, and sit down the unbroken cord. So these are the five ways to discard the evil. How to generate habitual wholesome by one's attention? Suppose something happened. Something happened to your beloved person. So, for example, your beloved daughter or your beloved wife, mother, parent passed away. So, naturally, we will feel sad. But sadness is under the root of anger. Sadness is under the root of anger. And now, after studying Abhidhamma, we know every consciousness rooted in unwholesome, either greed or hatred or delusion will produce that result. So we know it already. So we don't want to have unwholesome consciousness rooted in anger arising in you. Then how do you? How to generate habitual wholesomeness by one's attention? If your beloved person passed away. This happened to you, happened to us, at least, it will be happened to us. So you have to prepare for it first. So how to do? You should reflect. Buddha say, Sabbe Sankara Anicca. All formations are impermanent. Having a reason, they are sure, pass away. So if you can reflect in such a way, you are cultivating wholesome consciousness rooted in wisdom. So you can replace unwholesome consciousness with wholesome consciousness by wise attention, using the knowledge you have. During the time of the Buddha, there's one very inspiring story which I love very much. There's one general called General Manjula. He has 32 sons. His wife gives birth to 16 twins. So he has 32 sons. Indian people can give a lot of son and daughter. So one day, the King Patanadi, because King Patanadi was influenced or was affected by some scandaling, tell him that General Manjula is doing something bad to him. So King Patanadi want to kill this General Manjula without further investigation. So he sent General Manjula and his 32 sons to the battlefield and kill all of them. 32 sons and one father. So when this news is come to you, how do you react? First of all, cry out, and secondly, blame this King Patanadi. But his wife is very smart person. His wife, when he received this mail, at that very moment, the monk she invited to come for house dana just arrived in her house at the same time. Now when he received the mail, and at the same time the monk arrived in her house. So she cannot say, I'm not free. Today I cannot offer you. I'm so sad. She cannot say that. It's very disrespect. So she just put the piece of paper saying that the husband and 32 sons already died, kids in the pocket. Then he react very normally and serve all the monks very respectfully and wholeheartedly. And one of her maids suddenly with carelessness broke the plate. So the monk worried that the wife of Manjula will scold the maid and told her, oh, anything impermanent. Plate is also impermanent. And the wife took out the piece of paper, showed to the monk. I just received the mail. My husband and my beloved 32 sons all died. Even though I still not move, not to speak with mortal. So her reaction towards this tragedy is so inspiring. Not only then after all, and also before the wife, all the daughter-in-law, she told all her daughter-in-law not to blame the King Patanadi, because it's the King Patanadi's fault. Ask all the daughter-in-law not to blame him. So when the King Patanadi knows what was happening, he feels so regret. So very, very regret. And he asked General Manjula's wife, what do you want? I can give you everything you want. Because we want to repair his mistake. Then Manjula's wife says, no, I do not need him. Because let me go back to my village. So this is a very inspiring story. Shows that how wise attention, when you meet with something bad happened to you or to your beloved family, how you react with wise attention and accumulate wholesome consciousness rather than get into unwholesome consciousness. next one. If your object, if your beloved property, house are burned, then how you generate habitual concernment by what attention? Okay, that you do it yourself. Another situation. Suppose you are abused by somebody. When you get angry, you are abused by somebody, which is not true. When you get angry, of course, of course. But now you know getting angry is not good. So dealing with such situations, how should you reflect in order to overcome your anger? To reflect karma. Sabbe satta karma satta. All beings have karma as their heritage. All beings have karma as their heir. So you reflect the karma. Just like Losaka Pita. Losaka Pita, even though the karma has nothing to do with it, because of his karma. So they understand. And like Buddha, the Lord Buddha, one day he was pacing up and down under the hill, and the Devadatta pushed a rock, and a piece of splinter of rock hurt the Buddha's toe. This one is also the Buddha's karma. You cannot blame Devadatta. It's Buddha's karma. Because one of his past lives, when he was a child, because child is very ignorant. One day he meets with one Patika Buddha, and he followed the Patika Buddha, and he used the stone for Patika Buddha's toes, the cause breathing to the Patika Buddha. Because of this bad karma, that's why he was hurt by Devadatta. So it's not Devadatta's karma. Of course, it's Devadatta's bad karma to hurt the Buddha. But the Buddha's toes was breathing because of his previous bad karma. So if you will understand, whatever happens to you is your own good or bad karma, then you will not cultivate the habit to blame others. If you blame others, you create a lot of unfortunate within you and him too. So whatever we react, we must react with wise attention in order to protect ourselves. And in the story of the Jataka story, the Bodhisattva, in one of his lives, he was King Kusa. King Kusa, very powerful king, but he was very, very ugly. Why? Because in one of his lives, he was brother-in-law of Yasodhara. So Yasodhara used to, in a previous life, he used to prepare food for him and her husband. So one day, she and her husband were taking their food, and they reserved a portion of food for the Bodhisattva. So at that time, a Pakita comes for Pinta Bhav. So when Yasodhara saw this Pakita Buddha, she cannot offer the food which she had already eaten. So she takes the one who she reserved for the brother-in-law and offered to the Pakita Buddha. So happened that Bodhisattva came back and saw his food was offered. Was not reserved for him, but was offered to the Pakita Buddha. He was very angry. Even Bodhisattva also can do wrong. Bodhisattva should be happy, should be happy. I offer my food to the Pakita Buddha. Okay, thank you, Saru Saru. But he was very angry. So he took up all the food which was already offered to the Pakita Buddha. Then when Yasodhara saw his action, she was very angry. So she went back to her mother's house and quickly prepared some cake. And we offer to the Patrika Buddha. And when we offer to the Patrika Buddha, it makes a wish to pray. You pray wrong already. Huh? Pray is very important. If you pray wrong, then you will suffer. Then you pray, may this meritorious deed help me to have golden body, very beautiful, be rewarded, very beautiful. And also, not to stay together with this bad person. Not to stay together with this bodhisattva, this bad person, because, you know, I don't like this behavior. They make this wish. So bodhisattva heard about her wish. No, I must do something. So he put back the food which he already took out from the bowl, offered to the Patrika again, and he made a wish. This wish made him suffer so much. He made a wish. No matter how far this lady goes, I must take her back to wash my feet. I need to become my wife. I want to become my wife. Okay, that's the story finished. So when this karma ripens, this Yasodhara becomes painter, very, very beautiful painter. And this bodhisattva becomes very powerful king because of his good karma. But because first time he did it, he took it back with anger. So he was extremely ugly. So when his mother his mother wants to arrange a marriage for him, he knows, no one will love me because I'm so ugly. I don't want to marry. He understands. But his mother insists. So, okay, you can, if you can, then you make a statue, golden statue. If you can find out a daddy as beautiful as this one, I will marry. So his mother go all over the India, finally find out that was the right. But his mother also understands. If I let this princess see my son's face, this princess will immediately run away. So I must try not to let her see him. So they make agreement that his wife cannot see the husband. Only can see the husband until she gives birth. If after she gives birth, if you want to go back, okay, no problem. I have planned grandfather to become my wife. So they try very hard not to let them see each other. But one day, Yasodhara so happened to know her husband is this ugly man. Immediately, she went back home. Leave the country and go back to her parents' house. So, but this prince, because he already prayed, no matter how far you go, I will send you back and to wash my feet. So he had to let the country and pretend himself as a cook, as a porter, you know, do all the slave work in order to approach her. So he suffered a lot in order to get her. I don't have to go into detail, okay? No time. So this is how you react to the situation. If you react unwise, then you have to pay back your unwise reaction. There's so many things I have to tell you, but I think we better go back to Abu Dhabi now. So previously we have discussed five door connective process, and we have discussed my door connective process, and I also have already mentioned sometimes registering consciousness may not arise when the object is obscure to the mind. So number one, there's no true registering consciousness when the object is obscure, but when the object is clear to the mind, there are two registering consciousness. The mind door cognitive process can be divided into two. One is called sense fear cognitive process. And number two is the process of absorption. In a same scale cognitive process, there can be consequence. The same scale cognitive, my dog cognitive process, consequence to a five dog process. Just now we say when we see a bit a lotus, the eye see the lotus, but the eye cannot recognize this is a lotus. In order to recognize this is a lotus, many mind, soul, cognitive process must arise in order to recognize this water. So this type of cognitive process is consequent to a five soul process. But sometimes this mind, soul, cognitive process can be independent without depend on five soul cognitive process. Without depend on eye, soul, without depend on sound, ear, soul, or nose, or tongue, soul, and so on. How? When you are thinking something, you close your eyes, you're thinking something. So without depend on any five door cognitive process, the mind door cognitive process will arise. Or sometimes you are reasoning something. Also it's called independent mind door cognitive process. Or sometimes we are contemplating something. When we contemplate the mind and matter as impermanent, suffering and non-self, then it's also independent mind-soul cognitive process. And also when you attend jhana of heart and fusion, it's also bare mind-soul cognitive process without depending on five-soul cognitive process. So there are two types of process, sensory cognitive process and absorption process. Under the process of absorption, there are two. One is called jhana absorption, another one is called supramundane absorption. In a jhana absorption and supramundane absorption, they have no registering consciousness. Now this is the law. No registering consciousness. Because in the process of absorption, there's no distinction between clear and obscure object. For example, jhana. The object must be very clear only you can attend jhana. If the breath is not clear to you, if the patibhata nimitta is not clear to you, you cannot attend jhana. So in the jhana, the process of jhana, the object must be very clear. And the absorption cognitive process has a different factor. Five door cognitive process must have 17 mind moments. Eye door, ear door must have 17 mind moments. Why? Because the matter, the lifespan of matter only lasts for 17 mind moments. But mind door cognitive process has different factor. Now, jhana cognitive process and supramundane cognitive process also has its own factor. Now let us see what. Okay, the process of absorption jhana in the mind door. When you first attend, the first attainment of jhana, when you practice anatanasati, for example, patibhata nimitta. When the mind absorbs into the patibhata nimitta for the first time, this type of process occurs in your mind. Number one is called vibrating bhavanga. Then arresting bhavanga. Followed by mind-door connected, mind-door averting consciousness. Mind-door averting consciousness taking patibhata nimitta as object. Bhavanga take what object? Do you know? Bhavanga take past life object as object. I will discuss it in my following lecture. Okay, so, vibration bhavanga. Bhavanga vibrates because bhavanga take past life object. Now new object impinge. New object impinge bhavanga, so bhavanga vibrates. because Bhavanga must give way to the cognitive function. After vibrate, Bhavanga stops. Then the mind door averting consciousness awards to the Patipada Nimitta here. Then followed by preparation, Parikshama. Prepare the mind for attainment of jhana. And followed by, then pass away, followed by excess concentration, so excess consciousness. Excess means close to the jhana. Then pass away, then consciousness pass away, followed by conformity. Consciousness. Conformity consciousness performs the function of harmonizing, preceding consciousness and the succeeding consciousness. And after that, followed by change of lineage. Change of lineage. Preparation consciousness, excess conformity, all these are called sense-sphere consciousness. Sense-sphere consciousness. Change of lineage, the function of change of lineage is to cut off sense-sphere consciousness for the attainment of jhana consciousness. Jhana consciousness is not sense-sphere consciousness. It's by material sphere consciousness, or we call sublime consciousness. So the change of unit cut off the same sphere consciousness for the attainment of sublime consciousness. Okay. Then after that, jhana consciousness arrives. All this takes Satipatthana Nimitta effort. So jhana consciousness arrives only one mind coming for the first time. Because why? Because of lacking of repetition. So you are not expert yet. You are not familiar yet. So it arises only one moment. You may not even know. So quick. You may not know you have attained jhana. Then you emerge again. After that, when you emerge, the mind lets into Bhavanga. The mind lets into Bhavanga. So Bhavanga must arise in between two cognitive processes. This is the nature. But after you have mastered the jhana, then the process becomes different. Subsequently, attainment of jhana. All the process, all the cognitive process must emerge from the Bhavanga first. So, the first one, because of the impingement of the Patipatthana Nimitta, the Bhavanga vibrating Bhavanga. Then, the Bhavanga stop arresting Bhavanga. Followed by, after pass away, followed by my door averting consciousness, awards to the Patipatthana Nimitta. And this my door averting consciousness pass away, followed by preparation. Prepare the mind for the attainment of jhana. And followed by access. Close to the jhana. And followed by conformity. Harmonize the preceding consciousness and the succeeding consciousness. It's called conformity. And the change of lineage cut off the sense-sphere consciousness for the attainment of jhana consciousness. Is it clear? So, after you have mastered the jhana consciousness arrives many times. The jhana consciousness arrives many moments. As long as you are in the jhana, it can be billions of jhana consciousness. If you can stay in the jhana for 1 hour, a thousand billion of jhana consciousness will arise in you. Until you emerge from the jhana, then the mind will let into Bhavanga again. Okay? Is it clear? Now we come to the process of supramundane jhana in the mind zone. For the first attainment of path and illusion. For example, when you, after you succeed in attaining jhana, then you change to vipassana. But you change to vipassana, you contemplate the mind and matter as anicca, dukkha, ananda. As impermanent, suffering or non-self of mind and matter. So when your wisdom becomes matured and the five controlling faculties become balanced, then you will see Nibbana. So when you see Nibbana, this connected process, this process arises in the mental stream. Okay, number one, every, as I have said, every connected process emerges from Bhavanga. So number one is called vibrating Bhavanga. Number two, arresting Bhavanga. Number three, mind or averting consciousness, avert to the object. That object can be mind or can be matter. At that time, this yogi is listening either impermanent or suffering or non-self. Either one, not three together. So some yogis attain Nibbana by contemplating only impermanent of formation. Some enter into Nibbana by contemplating dukkha of all information. And somebody attain Nibbana by contemplating non-self nature of all of formation. So suppose this yogi takes impermanent nature of formation. So the mind turns to the object. Then preparation, prepare the mind for the attainment of path. And access close to the attainment of path. And the conformity harmonize the preceding consciousness and the succeeding consciousness. Then this form consciousness preparation, mind or averting consciousness, preparation, access and conformity takes formation as object. After that, change of lineage takes Nibbana as object. Change of lineage, the function of change of lineage is cutting off the lineage of wording. At this time, person, you cannot say person because Navidad has no person. At this time, this consciousness is not supramundane consciousness. It's mundane consciousness. So the change of lineage cuts off the lineage of wording. If you say it's a person, let's say we say a person. Change of lineage cuts off the lineage of wording for the lineage of Aviya to arise. So it's called change of lineage. After change of lineage, past consciousness arises, taking Nibbana as object, and follow, pass away and followed by two fusion consciousness, also takes Nibbana as object. Then at this time you already become Sotapan, Ariya. Then the mind lapses into Bhavana. Okay, what is the difference between change of lineage and past consciousness? Because both of them taking Nibbana as object. What's the difference between them? Change of lineage cannot eradicate any defilement. But past consciousness can eradicate defilement. And the fusion consciousness is a result of the past consciousness. Past consciousness is wholesome consciousness. Fusion consciousness is resultant consciousness. So past consciousness beats without immediately. This is the quality of supramundane dharma. There are six qualities of when you recite, if you saw that, you recite Swatanto, Bhagavata, Dhamma. You recite the six qualities of dharma, there's one called Akaliko. Do you remember? Akaliko. What's the name of Akaliko? Huh? What? Oh, okay, immediate result. Is this one? Is this meaning? Akaliko. Immediate result or kindness. It gives its result immediately. Without creating a delay. Called Akaliko. This is a special quality of Dhamma. This is different from the worldly mundane result. Mundane result, we cannot say Akaliko. For example, now I'm doing a Dhamma. I cannot bear this Dhamma in the next mind moment. Maybe I can bear it, for example, the Queen Manika. The moment she offers, at the next mind moment, she cannot get a result. But she must wait maybe another 1 hour, another 2 hours. So it creates a delay to bear a result. This is for mundane. But for supranundane, no. It keeps its result immediately without creating any delay. Some even in a mundane, for example now I do Dhamma, it may give result after few lives, after 10 lives, only this Dhamma will give result. Or after 300 lives, or maybe next life. So there's a gap in between. But for the supra mundane Dhamma, and the past consciousness gives its result immediately without creating any delay. This is called Akaliko. This past consciousness is very important. The past consciousness penetrates into the Four Noble Truths. From the very moment of attainment of past consciousness, this past consciousness penetrates into the Four Noble Truths. This consciousness understands the truth of suffering, and it abandons the origin of the truth of suffering, and is realizing the cessation of the truth of suffering. And developing the noble peace for power. So it performs the four functions in a single time. So at the time of penetrating the truth, each one of the four power knowledge, it takes to exercise four functions in a single moment. These are penetrate the truth of suffering by full understanding, and penetrate the origin of suffering by abandoning, and realizing the cessation of suffering by realizing, and develop the noble equal path, or penetrate the noble equal path by developing. Just as a lamb performs four functions instantaneously in a single moment. The lamp burns the wick, then makes the light appear, dispel the darkness, and use up the oil. So, at the time of penetrating the truth, each one of the past consciousness, each one of the four past knowledge, Sotapanna past knowledge, Sakadagami past knowledge, Anagami past knowledge, and Arahant past knowledge. Each one of these four past knowledge is fit to exercise four functions in a single moment. That is, penetrate into the four moments. So it understands the truth of suffering. What is the truth of suffering? These four noble truths are the essence of teaching of the Buddha. If you are a Buddhist, you must understand this four noble truths. It's an excellence. So, what is the truth of suffering? Yes? Five aggregates of bringing. Without bringing, it's not suffering. Five aggregates of bringing. So, the five aggregates of bringing are the fruit of suffering. That clinging, aggregate of materiality, aggregate of feeling, aggregate of perception, aggregate of formation, and aggregate of consciousness. Cling to this five aggregates as I, mine, myself, is the fruit of suffering. And this fruit of suffering should be fully known first before you can abandon it. Now, in the Dhammacakka Pavattana Sutta, Buddha says, the first noble truth must be known, and I have known it. And this five aggregates of clinging actually same as mind and matter. Different meaning, but meaning is the same. So if clinging to the to your mind and matter, as I mind myself, is the truth of suffering. That's why when the vipassana, we come to vipassana, we investigate this mind and matter. This mind and matter is the object of vipassana. And this, when you investigate this mind and matter, then you see it's impermanent, suffering, and non-self-nature. So you know it already, you know it, only then you can experience it. That's why the first normal truth should be known first. And what are the truth of the first, what are the origin of the truth of suffering? Now you know, you understand the truth of suffering, it's fully known. Then you abandon the origin of the truth of suffering. What are the origin? What is the origin of the truth of suffering? Craving. Three types of craving. Craving for sensual pleasure. Craving for existence. Craving for existence is very strong. In America, one of my American friends said that some of my American friends, originally they are Theravada. Because Theravada, we mentioned, we struggle for attainment of Arahant, so not to come back again. But some of the Americans don't like the idea not to come back again. I want to come back again. So they don't want to accept the attainment of Arahant, not to come back again. So they change to Mahayana. Can come back again many times as we like to become Bodhisattva. But to my understanding, I feel that it's because of craving of existence. Because we crave for existence, but he doesn't know that. He doesn't know it's craving for existence. So he's afraid not to come back again. So craving for existence can be very subtle. Craving for sense pleasure is very broad. But craving for existence is very subtle. Craving for sense pleasure is very gross, but craving for existence is very subtle. So there are three types of craving. Craving for sensual pleasure, craving for existence, and craving for non-existence. So these three should be abandoned. Number three, realizing the cessation of suffering. What is the cessation of suffering? Nibbana. Nibbana is the cessation of suffering. And to develop the noble eightfold path. The noble eightfold path to be developed. What are the noble eightfold path? Right view, right understanding, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right communication. So you should develop this skill, a noble eightfold path. So only those who have seen Nibbana, and only those who are Arya really understand what is this four noble truths. If you have not yet seen Nibbana, we don't understand practically what is four noble truths. We only understand theoretically. That's why the Buddha said, Would I say in the tongue tongue and tongue? Oh man. He is full not understanding, not penetrating the four noble truths that we have run so long, wandered so long in the realm of rebirth, and in this cycle of continuity, both you and I. Before the attainment of Buddha, he said that. But when these four noble truths are understood and penetrated, Buddha out is a craving for existence, destroy is that which leads to renewing and becoming, and there's no more coming to you. There's no more to come. So why you and me have to go around the route of the world? Buddha said, because this noble eightfold truths are not being penetrated. So the past consciousness exercise the four functions in a single moment after maturing the four noble truths. Not only that, it also the past consciousness also eradicates defilement. The past consciousness eradicates three factors. Number one is called personality view. No more thinking this mind as matter, as I, myself. And it also eradicates, past consciousness also eradicates the clinging to rights and riches in the belief that they can lead to nirvana. During Buddha's time, there are many practices, there are many beliefs that by practicing it, one can go to nirvana. For example, before enlightenment of the Buddha, Buddha practiced self-mortification. Atakila Mata Yogo. He practiced self-mortification, thinking that practice will lead to nirvana. All these are all clinging to rights and riches in the belief that they can lead to nirvana. Some people practice in the ancient Buddha, Indian time, some people practice dog aesthetics, the behavior style of dog. Some people practice cow aesthetics, some people practice naked aesthetics, and so on, thinking that will lead them to the attainment of nirvana. So during Buddha's time, there are two aesthetics. Practice this dog aesthetic and cow aesthetic. One day, two of them. One is called Punya, Punna. Punna practice ox aesthetic, ox beauty aesthetic. And Saniya practice naked dog beauty aesthetic. So two of them come to see Buddha one day. And the cow aesthetic, how beauty aesthetic told Buddha. This Sardinia, my friend, has been long time practicing this naked dog aesthetic. He eats what is left on the ground, what is thrown on the ground. So he has practiced what is difficult to do, to practice. After death, where will he? Where is his destination? He asked the Buddha. The Buddha said, enough, Punna. Don't ask me this question. If Buddha said like that, but Punna is not satisfied. He asked again, then Buddha again time, enough, Punna. Don't ask me this question. So for a third time, he insisted. And the Buddha said, since I cannot stop you by asking me this question, now I will answer you. This naked dog beauty aesthetic. He cultivates the dog habit fully. He cultivates the dog mind fully. He cultivates the dog behavior fully. So when he passed away, he will reborn in the company of dogs. Not only that, but if he thinks by practicing this stop and practice. This is the virtue of practice. This is a holy life. And it seems that this is a holy practice, which can lead him to be reborn as a god, great god or lesser god. And this is what you Buddha said. So if he passed away, he took from you. But there are two destinations for those who have wronged you. Either you will be reborn in hell or animal realm. So Buddha gives the answer. So when the Saniya, the dog, beauty aesthetic, listen what Buddha says, he cry out and burst into tears. Buddha says, I only tell you don't ask me. Yeah? And then the dog beauty aesthetic says, I cry not because of this reason. Because I have been long time taking up this practice. So he feel very sad. Then he asked again, how about my friend, you practice cow exercising? Where, after that, where he goes? Same answer. He will reborn in the company of cow. If he has the wrong view, that thinking that by this practice he will be reborn in the heaven, then with this wrong view, either he will be reborn in hell or animal realm. So same. He cried. I said, I've been long time taking up this practice. Okay, now, so now he decided to abandon this two wrong practice. And they learned the correct practice from the Lord Buddha. Fortunately, they attend our mission. So meeting with correct teacher is very, very important. In one, that's why it's also important to ask. Asking questions is to help you to develop right understanding and right view. If these two persons do not ask the Lord Buddha, then they continue their wrong practice. Okay. So once you attain Sotapanna path consciousness, so you eradicate, you give up already this clinging to the rice and riches in the belief that they can reach to Nirvana. You only trust one practice, that is noble, eightfold path. You only trust one. Because you yourself walking noble, eightfold path, and you attend Nirvana. So you trust only noble, eightfold path. And also path consciousness eradicate the doubt about the 3%. He has unshakable faith towards the 3%. Just like what's happening to the Supa Buddha. Now, Supa Buddha is a leper. What leper? One day he followed the Supa Buddha to the monastery and he listened to the Dharma. Because of his matured parami, he becomes Sotapan. So once he becomes Sotapan, he develops unshakable towards 3%. So the Saka, the king of the Sawatimsa, he wants to test this Supa Buddha, how strong is his faith. So he told to Supa Buddha, you tell me there's no Buddha, there's no Dharma, there's no Saka. If you can tell me that, I can teach you immense wealth. And I can make your wishes disappear. So you can enjoy all the sensual treasures. Because now we are GoPro. So just tell me, I can give you all the wealth. And Supa Buddha says, I'm not a poor people. I possess of seven noble treasures, which only possessed by Sotapanna. So what are the seven noble Number one is confidence, the faith towards Sotapanna. Number two, morality. The Sotapanna will never break his 5% morality. And shame of wrongdoing. He has shame of wrongdoing and fear of wrongdoing, learning, generosity. So that one will never be stingy. Then number seven, inside knowledge or wisdom. So Supa Buddha said, I have just seven moral traditions, so I'm not a poor person. It's not possible for me to say there's no Buddha Dhamma Sangha. So since I reached here, let me discuss with you the blessing of attaining first thought and work and crucial knowledge. Number one, it closes the door to the four woeful states. It's the highest blessing. If you know in a future life, you will not go into the four woeful states. Then you got insurance already. You got insurance already. Then when I go to heaven, how many lives if I have to go? But for the one only has 7 lives, and the most 7 lives. So you can go to human world, human deva, or Brahma. So this is the highest blessing. Number two, soften the suffering in the realm of the world. The most is 7 lives to come. If we try hard, we can attain Arahant in this very life too. Then number three, he has formed in the good Dhamma. And he clearly understood causes and effects. And there's no I, self, or us, cause and effect. And he possesses the 7 noble traits. One mind moment that it never occurs again in the Sotapan mental stream around the realm of the world. And before attend Sotapan, before attend Arahantship, this Sotapana path consciousness only arrives once, never occur again, never repeat again. Now, even though it's only one mind moment, but it's so powerful to uproot the connected environment. So immediately a past consciousness without get this crucial consciousness. Some monks, I have read some books, some monks say that after past consciousness, that person can attain crucial consciousness after many months, which is not correct. According to Abhidhamma, immediately past consciousness, crucial consciousness follows. There's no belief. There's no yet in between. So if you heard somebody say that, or after past consciousness, many years only he becomes the attained fusion consciousness. This is not correct. I have read from the Theravada book written by the monk. Okay, what is the difference between past consciousness and fusion consciousness? Past consciousness performs the function of eradicating defilement or factors. But fusion consciousness, the function of fusion consciousness is to experience the liberation after eradication of defilement. And past consciousness is wholesome consciousness, and fusion consciousness is resultant consciousness. This is the difference. And past consciousness also eradicates the wrong view. The wrong view associated with wrong view. There are 8 unwholesome consciousness. There are 4 associated with wrong view. So past consciousness also eradicated this 4. And past consciousness also eradicates eradicate consciousness associated with self. So among the 12, five types of consciousness will be eradicated by the past karma. Then after that is Sagga Dagami, past consciousness. Sagga Dagami after Sotapan, if you continue to practice, you will attain Sagga Dagami, past consciousness. Sagga Dagami, past consciousness does not eradicate any defilement, but it lessens the pain, the anger and greed. And after Sagga Dagami, past consciousness, if you continue practice, you will attain Anagami. Anagami past intrusion. Anagami past consciousness eradicates what? Anger. So there are two consciousness, rooted in anger. One is prompted, one is unprompted. Do you remember that? So Anagami past consciousness completely eradicate this root, consciousness rooted in anger. So now how many left? But now five. So the past consciousness eradicate five. Now Anagami past consciousness approach two. So seven, another five left. Anagami consciousness not only eradicate the anger completely, it also eradicates the love towards sensual pleasures, craving for sensual pleasures. Uproots the love for sensual pleasures. This will be clear to you if I tell you the story of Dhammadina. Dhammadina and her husband Visakha. Visakha one day when he went to listen to Buddha's Dhamma talk, then he became Anagami. Once he became Anagami, you overcome or you uproot anger and lust for sensual pleasure. So when he came back, he cannot call his wife, "Oh my darling," anymore, because there is no more attachment to the sensual pleasure. So he called his wife, "My sister." So his wife so puzzled. "What happened to you? So why you call me? You call me my darling, now you call me my sister. What happened to you?" Then Visakha told him, "Oh, I have been, I went to listen to Buddha's talk. Then I have attained certain level. Now I have no more desire. I have no desire for love. I have no more desire for it. So I cannot stay with you in the same room anymore." Then Dhammadina is a wise person. She does not feel upset. But she says that, "Oh, this Dhamma is very good. Can I practice it?" "Of course, if you want, I send you to Bikuni Monastery. Right? You go and practice." "Okay." Then Visakha allowed her to be ordained as Bikuni. So this Dhammadina tried very hard. Within a very short time, she became Arahant, higher than her husband. So Anagami has no desire for sexual pleasure or love. Then the last one, after Anagami, Arahant past consciousness. Arahant past consciousness permanently eradicate the remaining five factors. What are the remaining five factors? I repeat again. Sotapanna eradicate personality, view, clinging to rights and riches, and doubt towards superstition. Then Anagami eradicate anger and lust for sensual pleasure. Sotapanna Arahant uproot craving for material world, craving for rupa world, and craving for arupa world, and pride, conceit. Arahant has uprooted conceit. Next one, restlessness. So only Arahant has no restlessness. And the last one, ignorance. Arahant has accepted ignorance. So now, all the remaining five unwholesome consciousness will be uplifted by Arahant path consciousness. So no more unwholesome consciousness in the Arahant mind. The first attainment of Sotapanna path and solution consciousness, then this person becomes Sotapanna. Once you become Sotapanna, you can enter into attainment of solution and to experience the bliss of Nirvana. So if you want to enter into the attainment of solution, at that moment, this type of process happens in the mind for those who are entering into attainment of solution. One is called vibrating bhavanga, eventually bhavanga, mind door averting consciousness. Before you enter into a kind of solution, you have to practice vipassana first. You have to listen anicca, either anicca or dukkha or anatta of the formation. So after that, mind door averting consciousness, preparation, access, conformity, then PU. PU is purification. Why no more change of meaning? Because it already cut off the lineage of worldly. It already become Ariya. So no more change of lineage. Purification. Replace change of lineage. And since I have said past consciousness cannot arise again. Only one time. No, never repeated. So no past consciousness. Only present consciousness. Taking Nirvana as object. And this present consciousness can arise again, can arise many times, depending on how long you enter into this attainment of vision. If you enter into this attainment of vision for half an hour, after half an hour, this cognitive process will finish, then the mind will rest with the bound mind. Okay, finished. Any questions?
As lay person, we definitely go through this action because of gratitude.
That's why Buddha hope everybody become monks and nuns. So you cannot avoid it, you know, because you have to earn money. But you earn it with right livelihood. You should earn it lawfully. You earn your livelihood lawfully. Then it's accepted.
How does one who practices the attainment of Nirodha Samapatti, after emerging from it, how does the giver of dana, the first one, benefit from the kind of miracle of the Nirodha Samapatti?
After emerging
from Nirodha Samapatti, when the first dana giver,
the donor.
How does the donor benefit from the immediate benefit?
Because Nirodha Samapatti is very high attainment and only can be achieved by Anagami or Arahant who has its attainment. Because in order to enter into Nirodha Samapatti, you must have it attainment Arupa Dhyana. So then when you enter into Nirodha Samapatti, the mind stops flowing. That's one occasion, the mind can stop flowing. That when you enter into Nirodha Samapatti, the mind stops flowing at a period of time, depending on your determination. So at that moment, it's very, I think, higher state, I think. Because at that time there is no mind flowing. So when those, after it emerged from the Nirodha Samapatti, if any person happens to offer him any food, this person will use very great results.
Immediate.
Can be immediate. can be immediate, but also because seven jhana. So if the first jhana ripen, it produces immediate results. But there are also second, three, four, five, six, seven jhana, they will ripen in the future life.
And Arya can delay the time to more than 7 times time or not?
At most 7 times.
And
Arya
can fast
at all? I think I have just mentioned, according to Mahayana tradition, Arahant can come back. But if you reach many suttas, even in Dhammacakka Pavadana Sutta, Buddha says, Buddha is also Arahant. This is my last birth. There's no more becoming. In the Dhammacakka, if you do not believe Abhidhamma, and if you do not believe Sutta also, then I don't know how to tell you. So in the Dhammacakka Pavadana Sutta, Buddha also says, this is my last birth. There's no more becoming. And also many times when some bhikkhuni attend arahantship, they were declared, this is my last, what should be done has been done. There's no more to be done. So this is my last birth. There's no more becoming.
Is intention the precursor to karma formation?
There are 50 manifestations in formation. Formation here, I don't know what you want about formation. But here, I presume is samsara khanda, aggregate of formation. Aggregate of formation, we have 50. Vedana khanda, Sanya Khanda 1 and formation 50. Excludes feeling and they are 50. So among these 50, intention is ahead. Intention, Buddha says, intention of Vedana means karma. When one will, one do something with intention, it means the karma is performed. So among the 50 formation, intention is ahead. That intention means karma.
The second question, do baby or infant create karma?
Of course. Depends on what you done. Even in the mother's womb, the first mind, door, cognitive process, is craving for existence. I will reach there in my future, my next talk. In the mother's womb, when after reverse linking, then the 15 maunga, after 15 maunga, the first mind door cognitive process is craving for existence. Whether you are in four woman state or in human realm or deva realm or brahma womb. So, can there be really very weak karma, because the intention is not strong. Maybe does not know anything. But he said that great.
Regarding to the dharma that do offering to the monk of the dharma, probably you can see when there's a group of monks and nuns come for the people to the offering. There will be a different ranking in terms of the monks or the nuns. But you can see that notice that a lot of people who have an intention of doing the dana or offering more to the better or healthy man than the new or novice man. Now the thing is it already a craving or a greed when you want to say, oh, he's a good man, he's a great man, and so on. So you have a greed into it. And then another person, let's say, he's a novice man, but I do with pure intention of offering. So, is there a difference between two, or they are equally good or something?
The best way to do dana to a monk is to think, not to think individually, but think of them as a sangha. So if, even though you are inviting a novice monk, not just ordinary monk, but you think that he is a member of Sangha, then you bear a great result. But if you think that he's a novice monk, just ordinary monk, if I offer him not so much results, then your mind already becomes corrupted. So the best way, when you invite any monk, just think them as a member of Sangha. This is the best. Buddha said this is the best Sangha. So you change your mindset. Don't care about whether it's new or new or old or new, but you think it's a member of Sangha. So they are called Pugala Dana and Sankhita Dana. Pugala, you think them as individuals. You offer to this individual monk rather than offer to the Sangha. Of course, if you offer to the Sangha, you bear better results. Because it's a respect. Among the, in the Sangha, they have seniority and junior. So you have to go to the senior first. But you should not think that I offer to senior only. You should think that I offer to the Sangha, but he represents the Sangha.
And that even in dreams, although if you have bad dreams with COVID, healing and all that, karma is also...
No, that's not intention. In the dream, you have no intention, so no karma, no karma is not born. So you can have a lot of bad dreams.
But I was told somewhere, I read somewhere that if in the dream, it was my intention to kill somebody, karma is generated also.
In the dream, you have no intention. No.
Sampai jumpa di video selanjutnya.